This is your Concordia, Nebraska All Sports Leader, Kubski, brought to you by The Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name's Wyatt Kubi, alongside my partners, Eric Cumley, and we are back with another week of Concordia Athletics. This was a kind of a disappointing week. Nothing really too spectacular happened. We have good news, bad news, and everything in between. We're going to start off with women's basketball. They made the NAIA playoffs. They played two games this weekend. Their first one was against Merriman University. They won that game 73-67. I was able to watch that game. We came out down 7-0 early on in the game and then ended up taking advantage of our three-point shots. Our largest lead of the game was 15 points. The closest Merriman got after that was within one, but we were able to hold off the victory, really. Early on, the Merriman had two really tall girls that aided up in the paint to give them the 7-0 lead. But Taylor Cockrell came in clutch with free throws at the end. She finished with 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. Tayshia Rushton finished with 27 points and 2 assists. She came in big time as well late in the game. She also hit a key 3 to really extend the lead and some free throws at the end. And another double-digit score-getter was Riley Pauly, finishing with 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. We were outstanding on the rebound category, even with Merriman's tall girls on the inside. We out-rebounded Merriman 41-38. I say that's pretty good.
That is, that's very good. We had 3 girls, 7 rebounds, and that's the highest that we had. I mean, those 3 girls were Bailey Conrad, Taylor Cockrell, and Mackenzie Kopeek. It's not like we had one specific person running around getting the ball. We had everyone around the team. I mean, like you said, you had Riley Pauly getting 6 rebounds. So everyone was doing their job and helping out.
Yeah, that's really true. And all around, we played a very good game. We really did not look like the underdog seed in this game when watching. So,
yeah, no, definitely not. We went into this the 13th seed, and me and you both called it. This is going to be a much better game than just a 13th seed underdog going against the 4.
Right,
and
right.
It was. We showed out, and thank you for backing up our word.
Yes, you make us look smart. All right, and they went on to play the next day against Morningside. Look at that, a GPAC championship rematch. Morningside versus Concordia.
This was the third or fourth game?
This is the third game.
Third game.
Fourth game.
I think it's the fourth.
Yeah, because we played twice in the regular season, yep. One in the this is the fourth game we've played against Morningside. You would think 4 times a charm. We lost 83-67.
Yeah, sadly, that wasn't the case this time, but Bailey Conrad got hurt in the first couple minutes, so that really put a damper on, I don't want to say our spirits, but she was a great assister for us. As we said, she got 7 rebounds last game against Merriman. Just taking one of our key players out and hoping that Tayshia Rushton and Taylor Cockrell can pick up the slack. Taylor Cockrell kind of did. I mean, she did very well. She almost got a triple-double.
She did. Talk about that in a few minutes, but first, we jumped out to an early 5-0 lead with the help of Bailey, but unfortunately when she got hurt early, then the tides changed. Morningside then regained the lead, and they never looked back. Unfortunately, they had the lead for the rest of the game. The closest we ever got was back down to 2 points, and then they decided to jump out into an enormous lead. Again, Taylor Cockrell came in very clutch with 10 defensive rebounds, finished with 13 total rebounds, had 17 points, and was 1 assist away from a triple-double. She had 9 assists.
With Bailey Conrad going down, she really picked up the slack and helped out, but not only her, but you had Kayla Luby coming out with 15 points. She went 7-for-7 within the arch. So, that's very good for her. And, but she also got 15 points in the double-digit range. There's one other girl, Riley Pauly, who got 11 points with 10 total rebounds as well. She helped picking up the slack a little bit there.
She definitely did. Tayshia had 8 points of her own. I mean, not her best performance, not her worst performance. But Morningside really held her down in check, making sure that she was not a factor. And that kind of hurt us in the long run. But going back to Kayla Luby, going 100% for field goals, that's very impressive. Going 7-for-7 in field goals is very hard to do. You own 100% with your shots. Unfortunately, she didn't take a three. So, but yeah, very impressive going 100% for inside the arch. We did out-rebound Morningside 46-37. It just was not enough as Morningside had three girls with double points, two of them in the 20s. That's very unfortunate. Concordia will finish their season 22-9 and 17-5 in GPAC play. All around, a very good performance. A very good season. Obviously, technically, we're the defending national champions because there was no championship last year.
It's disappointing, but we did graduate a lot of seniors last year. But the result that these women put in this year has exceeded expectations of everyone. Especially at the beginning of the year, they kind of struggled a bit, and they really picked up Concordia women's basketball how it used to be throughout the year, and then definitely going into the playoffs. They really shocked a lot of people.
They definitely did. They became the Bulldogs we all know and love, and the leading scorers of the Bulldogs were, it was a close race, basically. Taylor Cockrell led the way with 14.7 points per game, but Tayshia Rushton, 14.4 points a game, second leading scorer for the Bulldogs. Those two really set the tempo for how the games were meant to be played for Concordia. It was fast-paced, lots of shots, and lots of points.
Yeah, moving the ball around fast-paced, like you said, you know, that's how we play ball. And, you know, they really picked it up, like I said, later on in the season. But you mentioned Taylor Cockrell earlier. I mean, we've been always talking about her, but Taylor Cockrell was named the NAIA All-American for the tournament.
That's a huge honor and accomplishment. And she's only a junior. She's got one more year left. Hopefully, she can help lead the Bulldogs to another national title next year. Because with her and Tayshia, that's a deadly combo right there. More leading scorers. Taylor actually led the team in rebounds with 6.5 rebounds a game. What do you think of that? And she led in all three categories. She led the team in assists with 3.2 assists per game. She is a really good athlete and proving it on the court, being the team leader in all three categories. On the defensive side, we have Mackenzie Kopeek averaging 1.7 steals per game, which is the team leader. And we didn't have a great steal game like we used to in the past, but we're getting there. You know, I mean, if you look at the past history of the Bulldogs, we were the leading steal team in the nation. This year, I'm not quite sure where we land, but I know we're not first. All around, we are bringing back a lot of young and talented players that I think we have another shot at going deep in the playoffs next year.
Oh, we definitely do. And, you know, head coach Drew Olson, he deserves a lot of praise for putting this group together this year. And, you know, it just shows how well of a coach and how well he motivates these girls day in and day out for every game, not just, you know, not just the national tournament or the GPAC title, but every game that they play.
Speaking of winning, we got another team in the winning category, and that is our men's baseball team. They are right now 16-3, 3-1 in GPAC. We're not going to go through all the games, obviously, but the last two games basically was a doubleheader on March 21st. They played Midland University. They lost the first game 15-8, but then bounced back in the second game, winning 11-0. That's a statement right there.
You know, it's crazy seeing these scores because these scores are not typical baseball scores. They're scoring 9 points a game, 15, 8 points, 11, you know. They played Midland March 20th, and they swept them before the day before 13-2 and 9-0. These guys are very good, and they're scoring a lot of points.
They definitely are, and it is very...
I'm looking back, and they scored 24 points one game.
Oh, my goodness.
24-0.
I mean, this team is a really good team. We've seen it in the past. I remember one podcast, me and our old coworker, Graham, me and him were doing it, and the baseball team was, like, had a terrible losing streak, and we, you know, we were freshmen. We didn't think anything of it. We just thought, oh, we have a really bad baseball team. And then they ended up going undefeated in GPAC for like a good stretch of games. They had a huge winning streak and proved us wrong. And we're like, we feel like idiots. So from then on, I've never thought of our baseball team being terrible. I mean, they're a really good stacked baseball team. They're proving it day in and day out. And when they lose, they back it up with a win. They haven't had a two-game losing streak at all this season. That's saying a lot for this baseball team.
Going back to that first Midland game, they lost 15-8. I mean, they still scored 8 points. That's quite a bit in baseball. Jesse Garcia had four runs and two hits.
You know, scoring those four runs is huge in the event of any baseball. Like, if you look at baseball, when you get four runs, you're usually sitting at a good place. But when the other team scores 15 and you're only able to score eight, that's pretty impressive on both sides.
Our pitching game couldn't really get into rhythm. We tried out six different pitchers in that game total, and you know, nobody could really get into a huge rhythm. Nolan Johnson had four total innings, and he had two total strikeouts, but he also only had two hits and he gave up one run. But like I said, we just rotated pitchers. Nobody could really get into a good rhythm.
No one really could. That game's kind of unfortunate, but how are you going to bounce back from a 15-8 loss? Well, let's go play the second game of the doubleheader and win it 11-0. That's how you bounce back from a 15-8 loss. I don't know what lit our guys, but we ended up getting a huge win. We finished with 12 hits, 11 total runs, 11 RBIs, and our pitchers were very, very good. Nick Little pitched five innings, only allowed two hits, zero runs, and four strikeouts. The team as a total obviously finished with a shutout, so kudos to all of them for a tremendous performance, really.
This is usually the team that we see, you know, winning by double digits at least, you know, shutouts. They really caught their rhythm here. You could really see it, as you could tell, with Nick Little and Caden Johnson.
Caden Johnson, as you mentioned, finished with a shutout with hits. He didn't allow a single hit or a run.
He also had two strikeouts there.
He did.
These pitchers really picked up their stride from the first game, and they really kind of wanted to show they can pitch, basically.
Right, they can. And a very impressive outing for the Bulldogs. They will continue, hopefully, their hot streak when they face Dort University. They have a four-game series against them. That is a home game at Plum Creek Ballpark. The first doubleheader will be March 26th. The first game will be at 4 p.m. The second game is at 7 p.m. And then March 27th, the first game is at 1 and the second game is at 4. So fans are allowed, but you have to wear masks and you have to social distance because that is the outdoor policy of Concordia. Continuing with the sports of a ball and a bat, the softball team for Concordia right now is sitting at 14-2 on the season, a very impressive season as well, basically. And they also, when they lose, they don't
lose back-to-back.
Lose back-to-back, right. So they are another dominant team. Unfortunately, their most recent game came in March 11th. When they played two games, the first game was against Friends University and the second game was against Presentation College. They won both those games. They beat Friends 4-2 and then beat Presentation 10-5. So two back-to-back wins, very good. But the last four games were canceled or postponed, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, both those games were postponed to poor field conditions. Nothing with COVID or anything, just the field caught a lot of rain. I mean, Kansas got a lot of rain a couple weeks ago and last week, and you know, the field never really dried up there, and a makeup date has not been set for those.
And the two cancellation games were home games against Mayville State University. Those were also field conditions, and Mayville State did not want to travel all the way back to Nebraska to reschedule those games. And as you mentioned, the Kansas games were against Kansas Wesleyan University, and those are hopefully going to be rescheduled here pretty soon. So their next game is going to be a doubleheader against Hastings College. That is another home game at Plum Creek Park. The games are set March 24th. First game is at 5 p.m. Second game is at 7 p.m.
And then after those two games, they also have a game this weekend, Saturday, March 27th, against Northwestern College. That's also a doubleheader. That first game will be at 1 p.m. Second game will be at 3 p.m. It's also a home game as well.
So show up and show out. The fans are allowed once again. Masks, social distance. Now to a different sport with a different kind of ball. You kick it and you score goals. This is soccer. We're going to start with men's soccer because, well, we're reaching the point of second half of the season for, so you know, you don't normally hear us talk about soccer in the spring, but due to COVID, that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, you definitely don't hear us talk about soccer in the spring. I mean, this is new for everyone here, but glad it's happening. Glad they made it. As you said, they played a game against Benedict College. They lost that game 2-0 against Benedict, but you know, it was a tough, hard-fought game. It was their first game coming back from the huge break from fall, I guess.
Yeah, they had a whole, like, Christmas break, really. Yeah, this is their first game back.
They hadn't played a game since Thanksgiving.
Exactly. So
their first game, and Benedict College is a good team.
They are a very good team, and we were able, it was a close offensive match. They had, Benedictine had six total shots, five of them shots on goal. Obviously, two of them went in. And we had seven total shots, four of them on goal. Unfortunately, couldn't get one in the net. I mean, we're just proving that we're aggressive still, even coming off of a huge break.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we won the shot battle and everything, but just it was a really hard-fought game. And, you know, it was kind of shaking off the rust a little bit from a huge break, like you said. It's their first game back. They're only going to get better from here. The only way to go is up.
Right, exactly. So right now they sit 9-4-2 overall and 7-2-2 in GPAC. Their next game will be against Missouri Valley College. That will be at Marshall, Missouri on March 27th. Kickoff will be at 3:30 p.m. So yeah, go check it out on the live stream on Missouri Valley's website. Or hopefully you can drive and show up and be a part of it. We were unable to find any information on what Missouri Valley's protocol is for fans.
You know, Missouri Valley College, they're also very good. This is going to be a good game as well. They're sitting at 11-3-1, and they're ranked fifth in AIA. So this will be a good game, and, you know, hopefully
a good test.
Yeah, hopefully they kind of got back into the rhythm after Benedict College and kind of get back into the swing of things and play how we know they play.
Exactly. And continuing with the sport of soccer, we're going to jump to the women's side. They played two games already. We talked about the one against Southwestern last week. So they also played Benedictine College on March 20th. They lost a heartbreak 1-0 game. I mean, that one was as close as you can get. The Bulldogs were outmatched, however. Benedictine had 10 shots, five of them on goal. One of them got in. And we only had five shots, three of them on goal. None of them went in.
That's tough, a 1-0 loss after coming off a double overtime loss. You know, you're kind of hoping that they would get back in the swing of things and kind of want some revenge just from that double overtime loss. But Lindsay Carley had five saves, so she did very well. She allowed one goal, but for 10 shots and five on goal, she did pretty well. But she just needs help there.
She does. And on the defensive side of things, you know, we aren't really helping her out. You know, you are allowing 10 total shots in the defensive side or in your own goal. I mean, that's not really what we saw the Bulldogs do last in the fall, really. We proved that we were a very good defensive team. Weren't allowing that many shots on goal, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, even if we somehow like that do allow that many shots and everything, usually our offense tends to pick up the pace and also equals the pressure with that. And they also, it's usually a pretty even shot battle. But right here, it wasn't with five total shots and three on goal.
Yeah, hopefully they can pick up the slack when they face Grandview University. That is a home game in Bulldog Stadium, March 27th at 2 p.m. Fans are allowed, have to wear masks and social distance. Just like the fall.
Yep, this will be their last game before GPAC quarterfinals and the tournament actually starts, which takes place on April 3rd.
Yep, that is true. So right now the women are sitting at 9-5-1 overall, 9-2-1 in GPAC. Let's hope they can have a good winning streak in these last few games. That's all that we got for you today. Please email us if you have any questions at CUNEKubski@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at CUNEKubski and Twitter
at Kubski.
Thank you all for listening. See you next week.
Bye.